Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're so thankful for you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for it is our purpose to speak only those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, whether its comment is favorable or not, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, let us hear from you. You can contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Small departures from Bible pattern often results in major changes over time. What begins as an effort to make something more efficient from a human point of view can somewhat snowball into the creation of a false doctrine being taught in order to justify that practice. The attention that is always paid to the Roman Catholic Church's appointment of a new pope, I think, helps to illustrate this very clearly. The false doctrines that claim that the Bishop of Rome is the vicar of Christ, and vicar simply means Christ's representative on earth, and that he is infallible, which means he's incapable of doctrinal error, while he is teaching ex cathedra, that is, incapable of teaching error while he is from the chair, and to be the earthly head of the church, would never have been considered if man had not long ago left the Bible pattern set forth for the local church leadership. When men arrogantly and they presumptuously set one man over a congregation, then a group of congregations, then a nation, then all of this, as an explanation, had to be put forth to justify having just one man presumed to act as head over all congregations. So this changing departure and this unscriptural justification gave birth to the papal system. The first step that led to this falsehood came from a redefining of the highest role of leadership that the Holy Spirit established over the local church. In the New Testament, local congregations appointed a group of men to oversee the work that that congregation did. These men were chosen based upon some very specific qualifications. We read those in 1 Timothy 3. Verses 1 through 7, also in Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Their work was illustrated by three names that the Holy Spirit used to describe these men. A man who was chosen a shepherd or a pastor who led and fed the flock. We see those terms used in Ephesians 4, verse 11, in Acts 20, and verse 28, and in 1 Peter 5, and verse 2. Another term was he was an elder, or a presbyter, not a youngster, not a novice to the faith, but one with the experience that was needed to help the young to grow. We see that word, and those words, elder and presbyter, in Acts 20, verse 17, Titus 1, 5, and 1 Peter 5, verse 1. And then the other word is that the elders acted as overseer or bishops who watched over the work of the local church. And we see those words used in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1, and Acts 20 and verse 28. Two factors characterize these leaders as they are set forth in the New Testament. First, their office was always a plurality. In every reference to the leadership of the local church that we read about in the New Testament, the role is always spoken of in the plural, never in the singular. Paul met with the elders of the church from Ephesus and Miletus in Acts 20 and verse 17. And he refers to them as overseers in Acts 20 and verse 28. Titus was left in Crete to appoint elders in every church, every city, Titus 1 verse 5. James urged the sick to call for the elders of the church to pray for them in James 5 and in verse 14. And the second thing, this office held authority over the local church only. Paul urged the Ephesian elders to take heed to the flock among which the Holy Spirit made you overseers, Acts 20 and verse 28. The Hebrew writer speaks of those that rule over the brethren as responsible to watch out for the souls of those that are under their authority. For they would face this duty, as they face this duty, they would be made to give an account for this oversight. Let's read in Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So such a responsibility could only be carried out when there was a limited realm for which the leaders were responsible to give an account. But when we look at this departure, in the earliest historical documents that were written, which came after the New Testament pattern, we see that pattern was still upheld for at least a short period of time. There was a work that was written in the late 1st and early 2nd century. It was called the Epistle of Clement to the Corinthians, and it speaks of the appointment of bishops and deacons over the believers. That was on page 42. Again, in verse page 44, it speaks of the bishop's office as synonymous with the work of presbyters. Then we see that the work rebukes the church at Corinth in page 47 for sedition against its presbyters. Again, the terms being used in the plural. And then in page 54, these are spoken of as duly appointed presbyters chosen by the flock of Christ, to whom the church is charged to submit, from which to receive chastisement. And that's on page 57. Another contemporary work, known as the Doxy, also echoes this pattern that's shown in the Bible and in the New Testament. It charged congregations to appoint bishops and deacons on page 15. But the first works which do show a departure from this pattern comes in the 2nd century. It was written by Ignatius. Ignatius' epistle to the Manusians, he speaks to them of, and I quote, Damas, your godly bishop, and your worthy presbyters, Bassus and Apollonius, with a deacon subject to them. That's on page 2. He also tells the Trinitarians to do, quote, nothing without the bishop, but be ye obedient also to the presbytery. That's on page 2. So you see, unlike the pattern that we see in the Bible. Like that pattern seen in Paul's letter, for instance, to the Philippians, which describes church leadership as comprising bishops and deacons, Philippians 1 and verse 1. What we see here in Ignatius' epistle to the Philadelphians, this is changed, but it's comprised of, quote, the bishop and the presbyters who are with him, along with the deacons. That's on page 1. And Ignatius, in his epistle to the Cyrenians, even forbids baptism without the bishop on page 8. So you see, this shows a clear departing from the Bible pattern and the giving of exalted authority to one that was called a or the bishop, as distinct from the elders. 2, over time, the bishop of a given city began to presume authority to the surrounding area of a city. This is where the word parish comes from. This parish was considered to be under the authority of the bishop. It was in the 4th century when Constantine made his version of, the best way I know to describe it, is apostate Christianity, the faith of the Roman Empire. He organized churches within the empire after the pattern of Roman government authority. So then we have the word diocese. That was the district over which a Roman governor held authority. Well, Constantine defined the jurisdiction of a bishop under the same terms. This word, diocese, you're not going to find it in the New Testament. You're not going to find the word parish in the New Testament. These words were never used in the New Testament, and the authority of those who served as bishops were never higher than the local church. And that's where we must keep the authority, the oversight of whatever term we want to use, elders, bishops, pastors, or presbyters. All of these are different words, but they're all describing the same office. They are different words because they describe a different work, a different function, a different duty that goes into that office. But search if you will, and you're only going to find that the New Testament speaks of the organization of the church only in the terms of elders in the pool, more than one, and the same is true of deacons. Elders, let us all times keep the Bible pattern first and foremost when it comes to either the entrance into the Lord Church or the organization of the Lord Church or the work of the Lord Church. We must do all things according to the pattern. That way, and only that way, can we know that it will be the church of which Christ will claim to be his, a church of which he is the only head. We appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.